Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
I like this song. I've heard this song.
I think this is their biggest hit.
Biggest hit?
Yeah.
Pop
quintessence.
Yep.
And also a song that is played with frequency around my house, considering both of my children's names are in it.
Oh, what? Really?
Tom and Sawyer?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well,
is this a woman?
No.
Is it
How dare you insult the great Getty?
It's not a woman?
No.
I thought it was a woman singing.
Come on, bro.
I swear to God,
crank
it
up, Stiz.
That's jacked up, man. There you go. Hey, Fitz, you know they're going to be in Boston next year.
I got my ticket.
Do you really?
Yep.
Oh.
That's not a woman?
No, it's not a woman.
You don't think that sounds like a woman?
Nope. Uh-uh. Does not sound like a woman, man.
I feel like I just offended Razor, if that's his favorite band.
Some people think that the drummer for Rush is the best.
Neil Peart.
Is that the one-armed guy?
No.
Isn't there a really good one-armed drummer?
Oh, no. Dear Lord, Andy.
Yes, the guy from Def Leppard.
Yeah, see, I knew there was one.
Okay.
Yeah, I know very little about music.
No, it's
ask, you know, here's one place. Neil Peart, sadly, we lost him about 5 years ago. Maybe the greatest rock drummer of all time. I guarantee you there's a text incoming from program director, the boss man, Laird.
He's the biggest Rush fan
in the world.
Yeah.
So they're big, huh?
I'm thinking
like Rolling Stones big.
No, but
the people who love the, I think Ted nailed it. Like you either love Rush and are a super fan, or you're like, and not.
It's
kind of
like I feel like the Rush is treated like Creed is or Nickelback, like where it's like they either bust on you for loving Rush or they love Rush. It's one or the other.
Okay. That's a great call because both of those are up there with the all time guilty pleasure rock bands. And I can't believe I'm not a Creed guy, but like I'm borderline a Nickelback apologist.
It's weird. It's like three guys, so it's the three man band, and it's a lot of keyboards, which is kind of weird, right? But it works for me, man.
All right. Well, I'm one for one. I look forward to the second rejoiner song to see if I go two for two in my Rush experience this afternoon. Rush hour traffic. Dan Ball is already warning me about is apparently horrific.
Not great, Bob.
Lots of red on the app, is there? Lots of red. Great. Look forward to it. Well, it is 5:04:44. You're in your car. You're in traffic. You're driving home. It's time for The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. WEEI Afternoons. 55!
Before we get into the meat and potatoes of the drive, the 413. I always, in caps, thought it was a woman, too.
Really?
So I'm not the only one. That sounds like a woman. It's a different version of those lyrics you don't know. You think it says something like wrapped up like just a douche or whatever, later in the night. Everyone thinks it's a woman.
By the light.
Right.
I don't know. You would think that the band's been around for 50 years that you would know by now that it's not a woman.
They are the definition of like the prog rock trio, right, Ted?
That's it. Yep.
That means. So we'll get to the Patriots. Trade deadline is on Tuesday. Do they have the stomach? Does your guy, Mike Vrabel, who he makes, let's be honest, he makes the calls down in Foxborough. Have we settled on that?
we've already discussed this.
Okay.
Elliot Wolf walks by Vrabel's offices, like looks in like, what's going on? Can I, is there anything that I'm missing?
You need a refill on your coffee?
They just come over and shut the door.
Oh, now you guys are being mean to Elliot Wolf. He's made a bunch of trades in recent years. And Ryan Cowden and Stretch are in the mix. But does Mike Vrabel, if you believe he's the guy making the call, does he have the stomach or the appetite, whatever you want to call it, for his 6-2 Patriots? Maybe they're 7-2 by the trade deadline, get a win on Sunday, to make a big move, to be more aggressive, heading towards the idea of we're ahead of the curve, the timeline is accelerated, we're in first place, the AFC is wide open, maybe we could go to a Super Bowl. Does he have that in him?
It's got to fall in line with, I think, what the Crafts. There's Crafts have a principle, too. It's not like if Mike can do whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to win a Super Bowl. At least the old coach that was here had to win a Super Bowl before he basically took power away from everybody. But I just don't see Mike doing something too crazy. I think it's a big risk making big trades middle of the season. And I think it'll be a couple small moves. I think Mike sees an opportunity to seize on the momentum and seize on the kind of the attention that he's gotten in his fan base by doing something that'll energize, I think, the fan base. But I can't imagine it. There's not a lot of big trades. They happen, but it's not very often that they are made mid-season.
So you're telling me, Fitzy, I should get ready for a Breslauian trade deadline where there'll be like two or three moves,
yeah,
and you can argue that they checked a box on the need list, but that I'm probably not going to be, rushing out to be the first to get so-and-so's jersey.
Well, you know which move I was thinking back to after we discussed, the tweets from supposed insiders on running backs and safeties and what? How much did San Francisco pay for Christian McCaffrey? Is there somebody McCaffrey-esque available now? And would Vrabel, the law office of Vrabel, Cowden, and Stryker, be willing to pay it? Because I think it was like a second and a fourth.
So like a low, like a guy with baggage, depreciation, but significant upside?
That's an interesting example. However, just think about how important the running back is for his system, though. Like, right? That Shanahan system. I just don't – they don't have a clearly defined system here where one player will bring it all together. Like,
right.
But that's an interesting kind of take. That was a great midseason trade.
Awesome.
For a team where it made a difference instantly.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think that's too aggressive a hope, is to hope for something like that. It's more like two or three players that – maybe they help on the edge, maybe they help in the backfield, and maybe they help wherever, safety. Even if you're going to look at the two positions where they unloaded players, do they want to restock that cupboard with a guy? So we'll see.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to it because it is enjoyable to talk about this. We hadn't had this in a while. This like mid-season, because Belichick for years made a ton of moves. Aqib Talib was one of the best
mid-season
additions, of all time. And
can you remember any? I'm curious. What were some of the other ones? The receiver
like
from
the Kyle
Falcons.
Van Noy,
Kyle Van Noy,
Jonathan Casillas,
those levels.
Kyle Van Noy's mid-season, okay.
So that right there would be if they got a Jonathan Casillas and a Kyle Van Noy or an Akeem, and maybe a tight end to fulfill Curran's desire.
Yeah.
Some third tight end. I'm not even really thinking of
somebody Martellus Bennett adjacent.
Yes. Then I think we would be happy, and that might elevate them to Super Bowl contender status, because that's the latest debate we've been having. We've gotten over the MVP debate. Yes, Drake May's in the MVP conversation. Now we're talking about, are the Patriots Super Bowl contenders? Because they're the two seed. So, right, you're leading your division. You're the two seed. You should be a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting for someone to at this. Is there? Do we have anybody out there that is anti-Patriots that is making a strong case against them?
Well, you started it earlier.
What's that?
You listed some of those. Concerns,
right,
or issues.
But that's me. Has anybody outside of, you know, me said, you know, or just put, and all I said was there's concerns. I didn't say that doesn't make them a Super Bowl contender.
So we did talk
to Tom. I'm a believer in them being a Super Bowl contender.
We did talk to Tom Curran, and we asked him that very question, his concerns about the New England Patriots.
What is the most concerning for you?
I think goal to go offense and defense, specifically defense, because if your combined record of the teams that you're seeing is 20-40, and you're having a difficult time when they get inside the red zone, you're getting peppered, you just don't have a lot of success to look back on and say, okay, when teams get inside the 20, we know how to make sure they just get field goals and we turn them away. You know, as Bill used to say, it's turnovers, it's red zone scoring. You know, to me, I've always thought third down was a big one, too. But I think, I don't know if those were his three big ones, but I've always looked at those as really huge team indicators.
Let him finish, Ted. I got to jump in there, it seems like. No, but that's red zone. That's, to me, is a huge concern.
That was live, not a drop, just so the listeners know. That was Ted commenting on Ted live.
Yeah. Meta Ted was tremendous.
The I am concerned about that. Red zone defense is a huge marker that I look at every single week. Where is this team ranked? And they are dead last in red zone defense. That is just not... I guess I played on a defense where teams kind of, you know, they kind of moved up and down the field between the 20s, but in the red zone, we shut them down. And and we had one of the better defenses because of our red zone defense.
So give me the next step in that. What are the keys to good red zone defense? Where are they coming up short to become a good red zone defense?
That's a very good question. And I would say there are breakdowns in coverage a lot of times.
Okay.
That you see you see teams run bunch and to do route trees that confuse our secondary, so they're a guy's a little bit late. They're just they're not passing it off like they should. Do we lock the coverage or do we play banjo coverage, which is you take first outside, I take first up, you take first inside? Well, you know, the guys are getting confused. There's young safeties,
yep,
which always makes me nervous, where they haven't seen everything, and so with the youth of our safety play, they are more ripe for getting beat in red zone, because if you mess up just a little bit, if you hesitate for a split second, they've already out-leveraged you. They're already in the end zone. And that's, I think, is a big problem they have.
So that's not where I thought you were going to go.
It was a good answer, though, wasn't
it? It was a very good answer. I like the banjo coverage, the whole thing.
I've never heard that before.
But I thought you were going to lean into your biggest need for the team, that if you had a better pass rush in the red zone, that can be more impactful and maybe take some of the pressure off of the coverage because you get there. Willie McGinnis had some big sacks in the red zone, I remember, over my lifetime.
Yeah, but it's just the red zone, the ball comes out fast, right? Because you're not doing seven-step dropbacks because it's a shortened field. So
then what the hell's going on?
As much of a pass rush. I think the answer I gave you was more of the right answer.
They got an all-pro corner. They got a $20 million corner and now a new, whatever he is, $13 million a year corner.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't that be good coverage in the red zone?
But have they all played the year in, year out together? A lot of our defenses, we've been playing so long together that we knew each other's moves. We'd repped it 1,000 times. So it's a lot of good players that are playing together for the first time.
So they could improve with – they don't need bodies. They might just improve with reps and time.
Oh, yeah, just reps.
What's our Josh McDaniel time on task?
The old tot.
Little tot work in the red zone.
10,000-hour rule.
I don't know if they have time for that.
Yeah, so they might want to expedite. Can we do the 500-hour rule?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a machine for that, but we'll see if we can get on.
Let's fast-track that a little bit. But one thing that does make them Super Bowl contenders is their quarterback. And today's latest gushing was from Dan Orlovsky, who didn't want to play Drake May, but now that he's playing, thinks he's playing really well.
Jonathan's having an outstanding season. There's nothing that I can say in a negative fashion about him. The MVP of the NFL right now is Drake May. When it comes to the value that you are providing, given just back to last year, given what's around you.
What a take.
Okay, so Drake May, one, Steph's coming off an ACL. So Kayshawn Booty's their number two receiver. He wasn't this highly drafted wide receiver.
True.
He's got two tight ends that are certainly longer in their careers than they are younger. Drake May's playing quarterback just about as good as anybody with the least amount of help around him. When it comes to just talent, that's not a knock on those catches. Keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
Who's his hype man? Who's he with? Who's
that's Greeny.
Oh, okay. Because he's like, great take. He's like kind of giving him a little.
Sounds like Greeny right there.
Yeah, a little fluffing him up a little, putting him over there.
Do you disagree? Greeny? Do you disagree with anything Orlovsky's saying, Fitzy? Do you think he's not, like, do you think it's hyperbole or is he spot on?
Not only do I think he's spot on, there's no reason for him to be hyperbolic or like in the back pocket of Big May, if you will. I think he's true. First of all, a guy like Orlovsky is probably looking at Drake May like, God, if I only had half the talent right. that kid did. Look how far he went as a backup coming out of UConn. And here comes this kid out of a, you know, mid-size upper ACC school and just is lighting the NFL on fire. And Andy, we've been the ones that have kept track of the whole thing. Started 11 games last year. He's 19 games in. This is his 20th start in the NFL coming up this Sunday. 20th start against an intermittently good defense, and he is the toast of the town and belle of the football.
Just put it in this, encapsulate it this way. So just look at last week's game, okay? They gave up six sacks. They had three penalties, a shank punt, and a onside kickoff that they gave up in the game. They have issues in the secondary, giving up big plays. They are the worst defense in the red zone. The running back, they had two turnovers. The running backs are some of the worst running backs in the NFL, and they're still blowing out teams. That's because of your quarterback.
It's because of the quarterback, and we've talked about all the great plays. We had the stats earlier that he's great at all three levels. It's not just deep balls. But you know what also I was thinking about when you brought it up earlier that he's blowing away Josh Allen year two? You know the thing when was the last time you said Drake May? That's a really stupid throw. That's a dumb throw.
Well,
that's a young, dumb throw.
Yeah, they had a bad pick.
But that's like, I feel like that happens every once in a while where the quarterback doesn't see a linebacker. Like somehow we see it and we're like, but like, has he forced ball? Like that wasn't a forcing. That was terrible. You know what I mean? Like, has he forced a ball? Because Josh Allen, remember, people used to criticize, oh, there's a guy wide open at 7 yards, but he thinks he can squeeze it in at 15 yards to that other guy.
No, he's not forced the ball. And if the guy's covered, he puts it in the perfect place for him to catch it.
And even last week, early in the game, rolling right, he had a rare throwaway, which isn't usually a part of his game. But he's realizing, oh, you know what? I've kind of reached the end of this opportunity here. I'm just going to throw it into the bench area and move on.
You know
on.
The one play I did not like that he did that I thought was a little cocky? Do you remember?
Well, the one I didn't love, given his health status, was the 28-yard run where he couldn't decide whether he wanted to, and Vrabel made fun of him.
Well, that was,
he, like, didn't know, do I want to slide? Can I beat this guy? Can I keep going kind of thing?
Another one, I think one of Myles Garrett's sacks was him rolling out, and he thought Miles was chasing him, and he thought he wasn't going to get caught from behind, and he got caught from behind.
You know what that was a lesson? Myles Garrett is not Matthew Judon, because if you remember in Miami,
that's right.
He looked back at Matthew Judon.
Same rolling out right.
Absolutely.
Thing. Yeah.
Except Matthew Judon is in year 14 and is not that good anymore.
It's like you almost see Drake kind of peek back, and he's like, Judon's not even close to him.
Right.
Myles Garrett caught him, man.
Myles Garrett's a different beast, different athleticism, size, speed, and all that. We got to get to the Celtics. Celtics beat the Cavaliers last night. The Celtics are 2-3, but suddenly there is a, dare I say, more optimistic feel around the team than just a couple days earlier. More optimistic feel around one Jaylen Brown and Ted Johnson. I feel like earlier in this program, you had a more optimistic feel about the Boston Celtics coming off last night's game. So that got us to thinking, who's your favorite new Celtics player, Ted Johnson?
You know what? I'm a big Anthony Simons guy.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like his explosiveness. I kind of like the bounce. He's just got this, I don't know. I'm a big fan of guys that can take guys off the dribble. You know, I like seeing guys that can attack. But he's also, he shoots fearlessly, which I also like. So he's got a lot of confidence, and I like that. So I would say probably Anthony Simons, but I could also go with Luke Garza because I feel like that's me out there. He's my number 52.
A little like you.
He's the screener.
Yeah,
you know, I'd be a screener, right?
Oh yes.
You know, but those probably are my two favorite.
Okay, Fitzy, do you have a?
Oh yeah, Josh Maynot. Are you kidding? You tell me. You play that with that kind of hustle. You add immediate value. Great preseason. No one's ever heard of you before. All of a sudden, you're like knocking on the door of the My Guy Club, asking if there's any room for you in there, and you're saluting Boston for being a great organization and the best fan base around. Welcome, 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 welcome.
And he went from plus 42 to 15 rebounds, right? He was the plus 42 the other night,
yeah,
correct?
He was.
So plus 42 one night. And then 15 rebounds the next.
In his two starts.
Yeah. That's a way to...
there you go, Andy. That's that rotation question you were discussing. Is Mazzulla starting to...
Well, that was my next question. Ted's all happy about the Celtics. He's got a new favorite young player, all these things. Yeah. How are you feeling about the coach? How's the coach doing?
You know, I'm a little dubious. Mm. And Joe, you know, I'm just... I don't know. I just hope he's got a clear vision for it. You know, maybe he really is throwing stuff at the wall. So I should maybe go easy on him. But I didn't like some of the tonality of his kind of preseason, you know, talks and telling us how we should feel and telling us to have patience and, you know, kind of patting us on the head like we don't know. And, hey, let's play a pickup game. I'm going to kick your ass kind of thing. So I just thought he was a little bit wound up tight to start the season, but... You know, it seems like the guys love him. So, you know, who am I to feel the way I do? As long as the players like him, that's all that matters.
Dan Bolt?
I'm happy that they have kind of settled on their rotation that's worked for the last two games. But I also credit that. That's kind of a collaborative effort. Would not be surprised if Brad Stevens was involved in that kind of conversation. It's still the in-game stuff that I have... little confidence in his ability to adjust and do things in crunch time, pull out the grease board and drop a play. I got to see more of that. I'm not there yet.
That would be number one on my list.
Yeah.
I don't. And we talked about it on opening night. I don't know that he even has confidence in himself to draw up a play.
That's what I think.
With the game on the line. And that's not a good thing. That's not. And if you don't, then find somebody who does. There are NBA teams where the head coach is not the guy who draws up the plays.
Is there like an inbounds coordinator? Like just a guy that all he does is like do inbound
That's
plays.
That's a great question.
No, there should be. In an NFL world, remember when Hackett was in Denver and he was having all like time management issues? Yeah. So like week four, they hired a time management guy.
If I was a head coach, I'd want a time management guy.
So and I don't know this. This is a question I'm going to ask Terp, actually. I'd like to know a little bit more intimate detail. Terp, if you want to text us in here, does he draw up all the inbound plays, end of game plays? If not, who does? Who could? You know, how many teams in the NBA? Because I know not all teams the head coach draws them up. I know for a fact. I've seen broadcasts where they're talking about whoever the assistant coach is who actually takes the board and draws it up. Because I think this team, the way they're currently built, is probably not going to win a lot of games like they did last night. 125 to 105.
Right. It's going to be on the margins, close.
Yeah, you're going to need an inbound to steal a game, steal a play, steal a score. Mm-hmm. That's interesting that we kind of stumbled into that idea, but that is something to keep an eye on. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoon, 617-779-7937. We'll get to your phone calls reacting to the drive, the Patriots talk, and all else. We also need to work in this Burt Breer report last night on NBC Sports Boston that I found fascinating. I also found it fascinating that it's 3 years after it would have been really fascinating. So, what are we hearing about? What are we hearing about Keon White, that guy, Bill Belichick, and the draft from 3 years ago? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, for the final time, Dan Ball has what's trending.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The Patriots return to the practice field this afternoon. New England hosts the Atlanta Falcons this Sunday at 1 o'clock. The Patriots are 6-2 and currently hold the second seed in the AFC. The Falcons, meanwhile, are 3-4 and sit 11th in the NFC entering Week 9. Today's injury report is out and is as follows. One player did not participate in practice. That's Ramondre Stevenson, the running back, dealing with a toe injury. Five players were also listed as limited participants. That's defensive tackle Christian Barmore, center Garrett Bradbury, offensive tackle Morgan Moses, wide receiver Stephon Diggs, and defensive tackle Kyrus Tonga. Earlier today, Pats cornerback Marcus Jones was named the AFC Defensive Player of the Month in 8 games with 5 starts so far this season. Jones has posted 36 tackles, 6 tackles for a loss, 2 picks, a sack, and 9 passes defended. Tonight, Week 9 in the NFL begins with the 2-5 Ravens visiting the 2-6 Dolphins. Kickoff is at 8:15. Coverage via Westwood One begins here on WEEI at 7:30 p.m. The Celtics have now won 2 in a row. They beat the Cleveland Cavaliers Cavaliers, 125-105 at TD Garden last night. Eight Boston players recorded double-digit point totals, led by Jaylen Brown's 30 points. The Celtics visit the Philadelphia 76ers tomorrow night. The Bruins host the Buffalo Sabres tonight at TD Garden. Puck drop is at 7 p.m. Jonas Korpisalo will start again in net for Boston. And finally, the Blue Jays took a 3-2 lead in the World Series with a 6-1 win over the Los Angeles Dodgers last night. Blue Jays starter Trey Savage recorded 12 strikeouts, the most K's by a pitcher, in a World Series game with no walks surrendered. Game 6 of that series is tomorrow night as Toronto looks to win the World Series at home. Looking for a spooktacular deal this Halloween? Visit the 99 restaurant this Friday for kids eat free or feed the family at home with a delicious family meal deal to go. You gotta love the nines. I'm Dan Wallace, just trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app.
That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
When does the woman start singing?
It's getting there. Relax. I mean, just listen to you, man.
Get you going. I feel like I'm watching Baywatch.
Sprawling on the fringes of the city, geometric order, insulated border. In between the bright lights and the far unlit unknown.
I like it better when the woman sings it.
Growing up, it seems so one-sided.
I wasn't the only one. Also, need to go back. 401, not only does it sound like a woman, it sounds like a woman who has a crap voice.
You know, it's... Go ahead.
Crap voice. What? That's a.
I actually like the voice.
Fitzy. I'm looking at rushes in the TD Garden on September 12th and 14th. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to go to the Saturday show.
You should.
In case anybody wants to go.
Nope.
Okay. So I'll be there. If anybody's like, going to go, September 12th.
Are you getting a luxury suite?
No, I'm just getting a couple regular suites.
Because if you got a luxury suite, I'd come eat free food and watch TV while the concert was
I going. Feel like what Rush is treat. The type of band that will play for like 3 hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
This is the having lost one band member, whoever they replace, I'm not sure if it's going to be like...
A woman. You know, we had a texter that said they have a new female drummer.
Oh, is that cool?
I'm being serious this time.
Okay. Yeah. I might have heard that. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I might have heard that.
What is it? Neil Peart's wife?
Annika Niles? Niels?
Oh, safe.
You know, if you got, it's kind of like, it's like you just, it's a cool experience because they use, I don't know, they use lasers in their
lasers.
So if you really want to, you know, get some
extracurricular activities,
candy, yeah, you just kind of, you know, just go to that place, right?
You know, maybe you should invite Razor. Because is it similar to the EDM?
It's kind of a similar vibe, right?
Yeah, he might like that.
Yeah, might.
Whatever's going
on
there.
I'll ask him.
Let's go to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Paulie made me laugh in his subject line. Your guy, Ted. Paulie says, day four of me trying to finish my point.
Not today, Jerome.
Let's go, Paulie.
Not today.
Uh-oh.
Paulie? He's falling asleep.
Paulie fell asleep. He had his chance. We'll try day five, Paulie. Give it a shot tomorrow. We'll talk to you on Friday. Let's go to Steven in Florida. Wants to talk about the Patriots' recent success. What's up, Steven?
Hey, guys. So I just had a quick question. And in all honesty, do you guys seriously think that the Patriots are Super Bowl contenders? I mean, just given the fact that they beat one beat-up Buffalo team, and then the rest of their wins are against bottom-of-the-barrel bum teams in the NFL. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a Drake May fan. Drake May is definitely going to win a Super Bowl one day, but not with this Patriots team. Like, do you guys honestly, seriously believe that this team is a Super Bowl contending team?
I do, Steven. Let me ask you why you what do you think is their ceiling? What do you think they are? What is the furthest you think they can go this year?
Well,
I mean, do you think they're a playoff team? We'll start there. Do you think they're a playoff team?
With the way that Miami and
the Jets.
Yeah. The Jets are playing, most definitely.
Okay. Well, so then, you know, then they all they do is win three games to get to the Super Bowl.
All right, thanks for the call,
Steven. If they're a two seed, well, they don't play the first weekend. Yeah, they do.
Only the one gets the bye.
Only the one. Yeah. So they got to play three.
Super wild card Saturday.
It's just, I don't know. You look at the AFC.
Correct.
I think if the seventh seed is Jacksonville or, you know, or –
Houston.
You don't think you can beat that those teams?
I just look at it. Give me three teams that you think they can't beat in the AFC. If the playoffs start, and I'll give you Kansas City. I think everybody goes Mahomes, Kansas City. Is there anybody else?
No.
That's how I look at it.
When I say Super Bowl contenders, I'm talking a team that can get to the divisional round, if not the AFC championship.
But I'm even talking legit Super Bowl, because what happens if somebody knocks off the Chiefs? Oh, you had that happen in 96, right?
Thank you, Jacksonville Jaguars, for beating the Denver Broncos.
So what if, let's just say it's the Jags again. Maybe the Jags knock off the Chiefs, and then you're like, wait, we have to play the Broncos, and then we have to play the Jags. You can't beat them?
Let me tell Steven, he's sitting there, you know, do you guys really believe, it's like, did anybody believe in 1996 that team was going to go to the Super Bowl?
And in team might not have in another year. And I've been saying all along, do I think the Patriots are annual contenders? Any year you picked them up and put them that year? No.
No.
But 2025.
What about 2001? Did anybody think we were going to be a Super Bowl team in 2001?
No.
No. So, I mean, you know, Steven, anything's possible when you have a quarterback playing at MVP level. How can you say they're not when you have a quarterback that's playing at an MVP level?
But can we also add a couple other things in there, like a good coach? Like you have confidence
in
the coach. Yeah. A good offensive coach. Or how about a good run defense? And the best team in the conference right now gets by with a MVP caliber running back. Do you think that Jonathan Taylor would rush for 160 yards against
the Patriots? Based on what I've seen so far, no.
Okay. Patriots haven't allowed 50. Never mind 150. And that's part of the Colts' game plan is he has to run for a lot of yards to allow them to play they want to play.
Yeah, it's not I don't think it's crazy to suggest that.
It isn't. And I'm the biggest, like, wet blanket hater, whatever the hell you want to call it, Fitzy, but just look at it logically. I don't think there's three teams you can list right now that you don't think the Patriots can beat.
Anything possible!
There are three teams that I think would give the Patriots hell, that I think would be a tooth and nail as of right now. We'll see how the Ravens look again tonight after they take on the Dolphins. But Chiefs, Bills, and Colts, those are the three teams that I think would be tooth and nail. But what am I going to do? Walk into that saying, make the other team a 10-point favorite and, you know, let's just see if it happens. Like, no, they're not going to be 12.5-point dogs like you guys were against the greatest show on turf.
You already beat the Bills.
I hope the Bills beat the Chiefs so, oh.
You all right?
Well, partly so to make me go to 8-1, but it would really give a lot of credibility to the Patriots' win over the Bills, right? I just think it would validate the Patriots even more if the Bills were able to beat the Chiefs, obviously, because the Patriots are already beating the Chiefs. I mean, the Bills.
Okay, so last night on NBC Sports Boston, you had Albert Breer and Phil Perry talking about the trades, talking about Keon White, and Albert Breer offered something up that then Phil Perry piggybacked on that I think is fascinating.
This is an interesting one, too, because I think if it were up to Bill Belichick and Bill Belichick alone, Keon White might have been their first-round pick.
He was
going three.
He was
and not Christian Gonzalez. Like, I think if it were up to Bill, it would have been Keon White. He had to be talked out of that one, and they wind up taking Gonzalez, and obviously it worked
out. Part of the reason they traded down, if you remember, they traded down the first round that year, was because they felt good about taking either Christian Gonzalez or Keon White in the first round, because both were there for them. Mm. When they traded down, they were okay running the risk of losing either one.
Mm. Mm. So, am I the only one that this felt like significant new information? I didn't know any of this.
I didn't know this either.
Like 3 years later, I didn't know any of this.
Doesn't surprise me because I think he was kind of off the reservation already.
Yeah. Yeah, but it
his decision making
is another example of that. And, you know, the lovers, the supporters, the stizzes of the world will point to, well, didn't he draft Gonzalez? Yeah, he didn't want to, apparently. Now, my one hesitation here is, and tell me if I'm wrong to have this
hesitation.
And that,
to me, was kind of an obvious choice.
Yeah, I didn't like the trade down.
Christian Gonzalez was supposed to be maybe a top 10. So it wasn't like the hardest decision to make.
Wait,
so,
and it also took the Washington Commanders making the worst draft pick ever, taking Emmanuel Forbes before the Patriots got Gonzo, for Gonzo to slip to the Pats.
But why is this? Why are we hearing this now?
I don't get it.
It's a little weird to me, and weird.
Well, because Keon White was just traded.
You know, and but if you had this information, like, did they just get this information, or did they have it and they sat on it until Keon White was traded?
I don't think you want to say it until he's off the roster, like, because, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, no, because my example is when they drafted Lawrence Maroney in the first round. Bill flat out told us at the podium when they drafted Chad Jackson the next day, we considered taking Chad with the first round pick, and now we're just happy we got both players we wanted to take.
Well, that's like how you pump a guy up, you know?
We could have had that with Keon White, and we didn't. How come we didn't? If you were so gung-ho to take him, and then you were so happy to get him in the second round.
Oh, why didn't Bill flex his muscle?
Yeah, why didn't you say you got two first round picks that year?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at me, Bill Belichick, my big old chest out there. I got two first round picks because this league's so stupid. I got a corner and a pass rusher. Good luck, suckers.
Yeah.
This is weird to me, the timing.
Well,
of this.
Andy, listen, you guys know I support Bill all the time, and
you did.
You know, listen,
you used to.
Of course, there's a few things that have been crazy, but would you agree with the fact that there is blood in the water now surrounding Bill, and that people are just looking to take pot shots?
Yes.
Who was that woman at her? Was it the
Mary
reporter?
Kay Cabot?
Yeah, like,
I believe
Cleveland lady.
Is it pot shots if he was just taking shots at these people behind the scenes for years?
No.
Is it a pot shot?
They have the hammer now, and they're using it.
What's the problem?
But I do just think the timing of this is interesting, but the information is very interesting and telling as to why Bill lost his way. Because Christian Gonzalez, I'm sorry, everybody on the planet thought he was one of the top two corners in the draft. It was the guy that went to Seattle, Weatherspoon, and Christian Gonzalez were top 10 projections. Yeah. And Bill is like, whatever. If we don't get Gonzalez, we'll get. And they needed a corner. Fitzy, you remember, we were talking about it forever. We were doing the draft show live. We were all having a party, and I was all hopped up on energy drinks and that whole thing.
Yeah.
You know what? I can't even imagine what our reaction would have been if they traded down. Christian Gonzalez is on the board, and they announce Keon White to the Patriots.
You'd have what's his name?
Out in LA
going, Georgia Tech? What? Well, Sean McVay would be like, Georgia Tech, Tennessee,
yes. Cole Strange. We didn't even have him on the board.
This would have been similar.
This would have been the same reaction.
And they lucked out, or they... That's the other thing. Maybe somebody did a really good job convincing Bill. I don't know if that's Matt.
Can
Groh
I also, Andy? Can whoever. I bring up
Bill? If you take your meds, yet?
Slap.
You and I were on the live draft show in 2022 when they took Cole Strange and lost our collective
Tennessee.
Proverbial minds.
Yep.
But if
they hadn't screwed around and let Bill take Trent. Cole Strange, or he and Matt Patricia hadn't decided that was who to take. If they had just gone chalk and taken Trent McDuffie, you end up with a Pro Bowl, if not All-Pro caliber corner a year in advance, and then you're taking an offensive lineman in 2012. Like, there was such a cascading series of bad decisions made with the first and second round.
And the worst
so
one,
many.
If you believe this
so many
report,
bad ones.
The worst one, he was saved by somebody or some group of somebodies who talked him out of this. Because this would have been the worst one. Because you ended up with a true all-pro player. Like the way we look at it now.
Who was my guy from Arizona State that was pretty bad, though? The receiver. Come on.
Oh, N'Keal Harry.
N'Keal Harry.
Oh, yeah, there's a ton of them. They needed a lot more talking Bill out of his decisions. And,
yeah.
You know, but at least they won this one, and we got Christian Gonzalez, and now they're a Super Bowl contender. Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount+. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Watch your local game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it is time for Odds and Ends. So we'll wrap the show up with whatever Dan Ball writes in the doc next after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood. Are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want.
Listen to me,
Little Red Riding Hood.
I'm gonna ask a dumb question.
I don't think
is this Rush? No, I didn't think so. I didn't know if we were finishing out the hour. I wasn't sure.
Oh, Andy, that just made me laugh.
So who dis?
Oh, this is an old one.
Wait,
Sam
is this
and the
was this Donovan?
The Pharaohs? No, Sam and the Sham and the Pharaohs. It's like an old.
Are they also performing at the Garden?
Nope. Don't see them on the.
They're opening for Rush. Yeah.
Sam sounds like he might not be with us anymore.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's coming down for breakfast.
Sam sounds like this was old when they sang it a while ago. Time now for Odds and Ends here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. So when Brad Marchand returned to the Garden a couple weeks ago, I said I'd be booing. He was a member of the Florida Panthers, so you got the wrong jersey on. I root for the black and the gold and the Bruins and the whole thing. Well, we've got a latest development in the Brad Marchand story that is really interesting, and I think we'll have 100% of the world cheering for Brad Marchand. So, Dan Ball, explain it.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. And by the way, hand up accountability. I hung Andy out to dry because I was trying to write a tease for this on the fly. Ran out of time, so I wrote, just go to break.
You legit were deleting what I was reading as I was reading it and rewriting a new sentence in the Google Doc.
That's right, and I realized I couldn't write Brad Marchand and all this kind of stuff. So I apologize for that, but it's for a good cause, I promise, because I wanted to tell you guys about what Brad Marchand did. He stepped away from the Florida Panthers, and I'm going to read this directly from Chris Detweiler on NHL.com. Took time away from the team this week to head back to his hometown of Halifax, Nova Scotia, to help his longtime trainer, J.P. McCallum. McCallum's daughter died on Friday at 10 years old from cancer. McCallum is the head coach of March and Mill Company Hunters of the Nova Scotia U18 Hockey League. Marchand's outdoor apparel company, March and Mill Company, sponsors the youth hockey team. Mm. So he stepped away from the Panthers, missed their game on Tuesday. He's going to be back with them on Saturday, but he's back in Halifax helping out a longtime friend who's going through an unimaginable tragedy right now, helping with their youth team and just giving back to his community. So pretty cool.
Can I say I just like the Panthers for allowing him to do it too?
Absolutely.
You know, not every team would be sympathetic to that.
Yep. And that's how you culture, you know, things
hockey,
that you
man.
Build and different yeah. things like teams recognizing when things are bigger than a couple games.
Yep.
But that's a cool story with Brad Marchand stepping
really
up.
Bittersweet. It is.
Absolutely. So Christian Arcand,
hello.
How are we doing tonight?
Andy,
what's
Fitzy,
up, buddy?
Tedward, how are we doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
How are you,
doing
buddy? Okay? Good to hear from you again.
I have a 90-minute show tonight, so
let's go.
A little longer than usual. Usually, just
I have
an
a
two-hour hour
drive,
series.
So I'll listen to your whole show.
Perfect. I heard it's pretty bad out there.
Yes.
We got a lot here on this halfway point. We're going to talk a lot about where everything stands. CBS Sports had a whole list of projected award winners and who they think it's going to be. And there's a lot of Patriots popping up there. We'll talk about Marcus Jones, the Celtics last night. I disagree with you, Ted. Uh-oh. I like what Joe Mazzulla is doing.
Okay.
The first three games, they got crushed on the boards.
Yeah.
And he got them against the Pelicans. They didn't have Zion. Last night against that Cleveland team,
front court's
they got
pretty good.
Three big guys in that front court,
right.
And they crushed them on the boards.
Okay.
And
it's
if Mazzulla's motivating them to do that, then I think that's good. I mean, that's right? Like, you can't say it's bad. Against Cleveland, that's impressive. What they did last night was impressive.
Yeah, no, I get it. I do worry about the 3 points were falling. Okay, you
it's
know,
true.
But they're not going to fall every night.
That's
so.
Still that's still something hot. I don't love. He was hot in that first quarter. But so were the Cavs, by the way.
Oh, it was
the
unbelievable.
Cavs couldn't miss a shot.
It was 42-40 in the first quarter.
Yeah, and you know, the first couple of games, they weren't coming back like that in the second quarter and putting a team like Cleveland away. Also, you could tell Mitchell wasn't himself last night.
It was weird. So he scored like 15 and then he never scored again.
Yeah. I think whatever was wrong with him.
I don't know that he
should have
played.
Half.
But whatever. It's the Cavs. I believe they're the number two favorite to win the title, and you beat them. So let's take what we can get early in the season.
Absolutely.
Here. Will you answer the question that we've been asking today?
Sure.
Are the Patriots a true Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, I answered this the other day. You asked
me
this. Yeah, you asked me this in the crossover either yesterday or the day before.
Yeah. I wasn't listening. What
you
was the
asked
answer?
The question.
I don't know what's wrong.
It was a very quick yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Same.
Yep. Very quick yes.
We had a guy, Steve, who's a Patriots fan, who was like, "How can you call them a contender? They ain't beat nobody." And I'm like, "Who do they have to beat?"
Right.
You could go to the Super Bowl by beating like one really good team.
Yeah.
And maybe not any. If we were talking with Ted about 96, get somebody to knock the Chiefs off, and then you just take care of whoever else.
Great point. And that's the thing. I'm not going to call them the favorites means, but contenders.
Yeah.
The team I have ahead of them is the Chiefs. That's it. That's the one team I'm not going to say that, I feel good about that in an AFC championship game. How could you feel good about Mahomes and the Chiefs? You couldn't. But any other team, I kind of feel okay.
Plus,
right now, I don't feel really scared of any other team.
Drake May stays at a Superman level at the quarterback position, then you could even beat Patrick Mahomes.
Potentially.
Right? If he's going to play this well.
I'm not sure I'm going to... Because I feel like a lot of teams did that with the Patriots over the years.
Yeah.
You know, the Andrew Lucks of the world and the Ben Roethlisbergers and all these, you know, hot quarterbacks coming up testing the Patriots and oftentimes couldn't beat them except Mark Sanchez those two times. But I feel like the Chiefs are in that same kind of role.
Yep.
And I don't know. Is Drake May and Mark Sanchez a good comp? You like that one, Andy?
Don't doubt Drake May. I told you all along, you can't break a diamond. He's a
except
diamond.
With a hammer. Or
you know what else has a lot
rocker.
Of diamonds? Super Bowl rings. So
yes.
Let's tie it all together. Stick around for 90 minutes of the Christian Arcan Show. If you're driving, I'm about to join you, and we can commiserate together on the many, many red highways on your traffic map all throughout Greater Boston. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk a lot of Patriots build up to this game with the Falcons. That is, I think Tom Curran said, a weird game. You're not sure how to feel about the Falcons.
It's weird.
You worried they could win, or do they stink and you should roll? Obviously, we'll talk to Jeremy Springer about his punt returner and his new contract and keeping him around a couple more years. We'll talk to Mike Giardi. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 2 to 6. See ya.
Hey, guys, when that defining moment comes a-knocking, your boots should be rocking. You know what I'm talking about?
You like that, huh?
That's great.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.